Thank you for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. Our program today deals with women health. And if you're familiar with many of the tunes written over the years about a woman, they talk about how thin she is, how large she is, how voluptuous she is. And we're going to talk about the impact of body shape today on our program, but kind of leading us into the discussion, just a tidbit of a song by Big Mama Thornton talking about the virtues or thereof of a big woman.
Well, they call me Big Mama cause I weigh 300 pounds. Call me Big Mama cause I weigh 300 pounds. I can rock and I can roll and I can really go to town. Not if I you this morning if you take me home with you.
A little clip from Big Mama Thornton talking about a big woman there. On the phone with me from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is the author of the book, The Body Shape Solution to Weight Loss and Wellness, Dr. Marie Savard. How are you doing, Dr. Savard?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being a guest today on Like It Is. We want to start the discussion or try to frame it on two perspectives. You have a great book here, and it talks about many things. Among the topics, apple-shaped women, pear-shaped women. Let's start off about and talk about the importance of body shape. Let's get you to talk about apple-shaped women and pear-shaped women.
Sure. As it turns out, a person's body shape, which is kind of genetically programmed, culturally, ethnically, there's a lot of differences, but your body shape is the single most powerful window on your future health and your future health risks. And it's not something that you can necessarily control, but it's something you need to know about because there are things you can do to kind of change that health forecast, to change your health destiny, which is what's very exciting.
Other than the obvious, apple shape, pear shape, what are the unique attributes to these women as they handle, for example, anger, obesity, and later we'll talk about pear-shaped women, how they handle self-esteem matters?
Sure. Well, the difference, the big difference between a woman who's apple-shaped, meaning she carries all her weight around the middle, kind of like the man with that sort of butter gut thing, the butt or the gut. Well, the apple-shaped woman has a deep kind of visceral fat. That's where she kind of stores her weight, and that fat is an active, what we call an endocrine gland. It's producing chemicals and hormones and things that lead to inflammation, heart disease. But most importantly today, I mean, which what we're talking about is it also leads to stimulating the brain to produce more cortisol, to give us a sense of more stress. We sometimes, you know, if we carry it too much of that weight around the middle, we respond more with anger, with even depression. So it seems that our body shape actually helps predict how we respond to things, how we respond to stress, how we react, and it really is dangerous to our health to have too much weight around that middle. And, you know, throwing out the scale for a minute and thinking about the tape measure, the inches around the waist, is what's critical. And we now know that being apple-shaped sort of programs, you know, increases your risk of having more depression and problems with dealing with anger. And that's so important that you be aware of it because there's things you can do to sort of reduce it.
Well, before we come to solutions, let's go to the pear-shaped woman. Talk about some of the characteristics that make her body type unique.
Yeah, women who are typically pear-shaped, at puberty, they know who they are. Their bodies naturally pack on the weight around their butt, hips, and thighs. And in our culture today, that tends not to be the sort of sexy, appealing way to be. So you look at those thin cover girls, you know, magazines of these waif-like women, which is ridiculous, and that's the image that these young girls are looking at. So research has shown that women who pack on the weight around their butt, hips, and thighs are actually very protected in terms of heart disease and all the diabetes and all the medical problems, but they have a greater risk of depression, low self-esteem, body image problems. Because, again, our culture determines how we look at ourselves and how we see our shape. And there's big ethnic differences, too, you know, in sort of what we appreciate, what we value. And I think our culture kind of really really changes sort of how we look at ourselves.
Well, I want to talk just briefly about societal pressures to be thin. It glorifies being thin, and it sometimes stigmatizes being large or obese. Talk to our audience about the societal pressures that you've actually started to talk about in the last response.
Yes. I say in the book, we should throw out the scale in this society. We should stop defining ourselves by our weight. Actually, we ought to be really defining our health by the tape measure, which tells us how much we weigh around the middle, because it's the middle fat that's the problem. A overweight, healthy, pear-shaped woman with a big butt, hips, and thighs actually has lower risk of health problems, believe it or not, than a normal weight woman who tends to gain the weight in the middle, that sort of straight up and down woman that you see, the kind of Gwyneth Paltrow types in the magazines. So we have to remember that being a little bit overweight isn't necessarily a problem. It's really, what are our health risks? What do we carry around the middle? What does that tape measure show? And for women, 35 inches or more is a big red flag. You've got too much of that deep waist-type fat. So I think we really should stop focusing on weight. I think people are numbed by the scale. My sister that I talk about in the book, who was always apple-shaped, so she gained more and more weight over the years, and nobody sort of said to her, look, forget the scale. Let's just talk about getting your health in good shape. Let's talk about losing 2 inches. That's what's going to make the difference. So I think that's what the audience needs to hear. We really are kind of focusing on the wrong thing. Not that weight doesn't matter, and not the 300-pound mama that we described in the beginning. Maybe beautiful, but she probably has too much waist fat, and that's what's probably going to help, impact her health risks.
Let me stay on the societal pressure point a bit further. You said a moment or two ago, culturally, different cultures view body type differently. And I'm curious to know if women in those cultures should reject what their husbands or boyfriends consider to be the men's ideal body shape.
Absolutely. What women have to do is have the courage, the confidence to look at each other. Let's take the pear-shaped woman. That's really what I'm thinking of in terms of the self-esteem and body weight. The woman who is lower body heavy, the butt, hips, and thighs, should stop being so hard on herself. And again, sometimes our culture once, sort of is now praising the kind of upper body fat, the woman who's large breasts, skinny little legs, and no hips or butts. Well, forget it. That's not the healthy way to be. If you tend to have the lower body fat and a little bit extra of it, chuckle about it, smile about it. We've got to, as women and as sisters, we've got to stop being so hard on ourselves and recognize that's nature's way of packing on the fat so that we can have it for childbearing and breastfeeding later on. That's the whole purpose of it. We're just nature's idea of perfection, maybe not culture's idea of perfection.
So in this male-dominated society, men are going to have to give up their likes and some of their dislikes, huh?
I think it's funny. Some men, when they're polled, they'll say, oh, I like the woman, with the big chest, the big upper body. Some men like the big butt. I mean, I'm lucky to have a husband who, and I'm a pear. I'm going to confess right up front here. I've got bottom heavy rather than anything going on up top. And, I guess maybe I found the right partner because he loves the bottom, and that makes me feel good. And maybe you have to just think about what's important to your health, what's important to you, and be comfortable with that. And you know what? If you have a partner who's not comfortable with your body the way it is, and whatever, that's, you got to ask some questions. Why not? And what does that mean? Because you've got to be good and happy in your own skin.
And that leads us into dieting. Good or bad for a woman? Can there be extreme dieting, just right dieting, or is dieting bad altogether from your point of view?
I think, again, we overemphasize diet. It turns out that to lose the dangerous health fat, the visceral fat, it's really exercise. Exercise happens to be just walking, the most powerful thing you can do to shrink inches around your waist. And dieting, sure, eating well is important, but I think we all heard there's recent research showing that, geez, even if you lower the fat in your diet, you're not necessarily healthier than someone who doesn't. And so I think the message has to be always about what you're comfortable with, what your culture is comfortable with, and that's probably the important way to eat. Yeah, sure, we should limit portions. We go crazy with the portions. And I talk in the book about the 25% solution, which means let's all just, if we want to lose a little bit of weight, reduce our portion size or the plate amount of food in our plate by a quarter. Not more than that. If we starve ourselves, our bodies suddenly go into sort of high alert mode and say, famine, famine, and they'll lower our metabolism, which then lowers our thyroid, makes us feel bad. And then when we start eating again, we just pack on the pounds even faster because now our metabolism is way down. So I do emphasize eating healthy foods. I think the more natural fruit, grains, fiber is so important for people, especially apple-shaped women who are listening out there, because fiber lowers the insulin, lowers the sugar response. But I think we have to de-emphasize weight and dieting and really get people to sort of feel good about themselves. Because you know what? If you feel good about yourself, you're going to be active. You're going to take care of yourself. Your self-esteem is more important to your health than what you're putting in your mouth, I think.
Well, I want to talk about some of the recent studies, and one in particular that de-emphasizes the role of calcium and vitamin D, that they are not as helpful in providing health to a woman. How do you interpret the differing research studies that are coming out that are debunking some of the long-held ways of keeping in shape? Any thoughts on that point?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's totally confusing women. That large, multi-million-dollar Women's Health Initiative study that the NIH, the government has funded, and, you know, for the past 8 or more years, they've been looking at women of all different ethnic groups and getting them to lower their fat, or, in the other study, getting them to take calcium and vitamin D supplements. And at the end of the day, they didn't find that diet, lowering fat, or those who took the calcium and vitamin D really had much difference in terms of their health and risk of breaking bones, for example. Well, you know what I say to women? Honestly, I think we have to start at a young age. We've got to be healthy, get our use to eat better. Nobody's saying that women aren't at risk for osteoporosis, bone thinning disease, and we are. All of us are as we get older. And we do need calcium and vitamin D to make our bones healthy and strong. But I think it's at the younger ages that we can really teach our youth how to eat well, that it's going to put them in good shape for a lifetime. And, you know, the bottom line is if you start somebody at 65 on a special diet, which is what they did in this study, you know, I hate to say it, but it's probably not going to make that big of a difference. I think more important when you're 65 is that you stay active, physically active, and feel good about yourself. That's probably more important than taking a calcium or a vitamin D tablet.
Is it dangerous for women, in women as well as others, to have it, to be ignorant to one's health?
You know what? I have a little sign that's like the back of a cigarette smoke that says, the cigarettes that say, warning, smoking is hazardous to your health and your growing infant fetus. Well, guess what? Being ignorant of your own body, your own health, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your shape in inches is more hazardous to your health than taking not taking that calcium or that vitamin D tablet or whatever. There is no question, knowledge is power when it comes to your health. And I go so far, actually in my first book, talking about getting copies of your test results. Don't just think the doctor knows it all. You know your body better than anybody else. You think something's wrong, you trust your health radar, speak up. That's what's going to make all the difference, is empowering women with knowledge and information and questioning. You know, if the doctor wants to put them on one medicine, maybe question, does this really make sense? Is this the safest way to go in the long run? Is there another way to go?
Well, let me just pick up on the point about the doctor. Doctors can be intimidating because they certainly, when they come into the room, they have, or we think as patients, they have all the answers. And sometimes the communication is not very, very good based upon the fact that the patient seems to be is intimidated by the doctor. Does the doctor have a role here in terms of making himself or herself more easy to approach in the patient-doctor relationship?
Absolutely. Actually, I've spent my career really helping patients and talking to doctors about how patients can be much better partners in their health care. And in the long run, it's going to make a doctor's job easier. The truth is doctors are overwhelmed. They feel like they have less time and you know, so many things to cover in a doctor's visit that they forget to let the patient be heard and speak up. And yet, And doctors have been known to interrupt the patient after the first 18 seconds, believe it or not, of the interview. So we try to teach doctors, ask your patients open questions. What's on your mind? What's bothering you? Keep pushing, pushing, because the patients themselves really have the best health radar for them, and we've got to start listening. So I think it goes both ways, but I have to tell patients, because they're frustrated by their doc. So I remind them, look, your doctor's human, makes mistakes, has an agenda, wants to rush from one thing to the next. Prepare for your doctor's visit. Write down the questions. Bring a health buddy or a partner with you to the doctor's appointment. Even give your doctor a self-addressed stamped envelope that says, I want a copy of my test results. I'm not going to trust it that it just gets filed in my chart that I don't see the copy. I want those results. There are ways you can make your doctor's job easier, and in the long run, I think your doctor will be thrilled by your partnering with them in a more active way.
Could there be cultural differences that clog up the communication process?
Well, they have shown in research that there are gender differences and cultural differences. And in general, obviously you want to pick the doctor in your community that you find is the best, word of mouth, however you find that doctor. But in general, finding a physician, you know, that's perhaps of the same sex or women, actually, believe it or not, I'm not, just because I'm a woman, I shouldn't push a woman doctor. But women do tend to, in general, not always, be more partnering with patients, give them more of a chance to talk. And then there are ethnic differences. You know, sometimes finding a physician of your race is really important. You have the same language. Maybe you know, even related to diet that we were talking about, culturally, we understand the foods, you know, that your patient or the challenges that the person might sort of be faced with. So I think all those things have been shown to make a difference in how doctors communicate with patients. But at the end of the day, what they've shown across all everything, ethnic, gender, whatever, patients, and I quote this in my book, if you don't ask, they won't tell. And if you don't tell, they won't ask. Meaning doctors they assume that if you're not asking anything, nothing's on your mind, so you've got to speak up. And if you don't tell your doctor what's going on, they're not likely to ask. They're not going to know what's going on in your mind. So you've got to speak up, and you got to tell your doc what's happening.
And I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. My guest today is Dr. Marie Savard. She's the author of the book, The Body Shape Solution to Weight Loss and Wellness. Dr. Savard, I want to talk about stress, its impact on apple-shaped and pear-shaped women. I think you may have touched on that earlier, but let's talk about the role that stress plays and how one reduces stress in one's life.
Sure. What research has shown us, when we have stress, and what is stress? Stress is whatever for you, your body, everybody's different. Everybody perceives stress differently, but whatever it is that makes you feel anxious, out of control, that triggers certain kind of adrenaline response in your body, and it may be different for everyone, but anything that triggers for you that kind of sense of feeling out of control, feeling anxious, we recognize it because maybe our heart beats a little faster, you know, we might feel a little uncomfortable in the chest, we might break out in a sweat. Sometimes we don't even know that we're perceiving stress, and it takes its toll kind of in other ways. And what are those other ways? Well, body shape is one of those other ways. It seems that it goes two ways. First of all, women who have that apple shape, who kind of carry more of that weight around the middle, they have higher cortisol levels. Cortisol is the stress hormone, and that cortisol level raises our blood pressure, our insulin, makes us pre-diabetes, gives us greater risk of depression. And then, on the other hand, it seems that stress itself, so even for pear-shaped women out there who are listening, chronic stress can lead to us gaining because the cortisol packs on that visceral kind of fat. So it kind of goes both ways. And there are simple things that they've shown that even not getting enough sleep, women who get under six or less hours of sleep a night pack on the waist fat, that visceral fat from higher cortisol levels. So just thinking about simple things in your life, are you getting enough sleep? Because sleep really provides the strength to deal with, you know, the challenges that everyone has to face day to day. So in terms of solutions, I start with sleep, because if we're not getting enough sleep, it's going to impact every part of our lives. And then again, talking about feeling in control, it's probably the best way to handle stress, to find things that you can be in control of. And we were talking about the doctor's visit. That doesn't have to be stressful. We can take control of that doctor's visit if we come prepared. As I said, get our test results, speak up, bring somebody with us. So whatever the challenges we're facing, think about how we can maintain as much control of it as possible. And that probably goes a long way, as along with sleep, in reducing our stress.
I found it very interesting. On pages 154, you have a quote I want to read, as well as on page 156. And I'd like to get you to comment on both these points, because I think they're very interesting. On page 154, you write, "The body and mind are mutually influenced." On page 156, you say, "Almost every disorder can be made worse by strong negative emotions." Talk about those two points, please.
Exactly. We know that the mind and the body are really one. They're intimately linked, and even our thoughts can impact our blood pressure, our blood sugar levels, our physical reactions to things, because it's all connected. So negative emotions, for example, negative thoughts, feeling badly, low self-esteem, feeling like you're out of control, just the thoughts themselves, just the fact that you believe that you have stress, really can impact dangerously your health, whether it's your blood pressure again or your cholesterol, your blood sugar. They did research on women who had children that were handicapped, and they found that really it was the women who believed that there was a problem with their children who felt, that they didn't get the right, help or support or whatever, are the ones who had greater damage to their DNA, to their genes. And the women who managed to deal with it because of a positive attitude and feeling they were blessed to have this wonderful, opportunity to take care of this child, let's say, didn't have that same damage. So you can have the same crisis in your life, and thinking about it positively and seeing that silver lining is actually good for our health.
State of mind.
It really is everything. It's so important.
With the remaining moments that we have, I'd like to talk about possible solutions. Concentrate. You talked on this earlier about diet for apple-shaped women and pear-shaped women. Dieting suggestions that you'd like to leave with our audience.
Sure. For apple-shaped women, we want to reduce that visceral waist fat. You want to lose 2 inches. That's the goal. How do you do that? I use the 3 F's as the way to do it. Fiber, you want all the foods that are high in fiber. Fruit, vegetables, grains, nuts. And the more natural they are, the fresh out of the ground, the better. By the time they're highly processed, forget it. Then we lose all that fiber in there. So whole grains are important. Read labels. So lots of fiber or healthy fats if you're an apple. Believe it or not, I'm saying eat fats, but the healthy fats, what are called the omega-3 fats that are in fish. Fish is an amazingly healthy food to reduce waist fat. Nuts are amazingly healthy. Even though they sound fatty, it's a healthy fat. Olive oil. Change the type of oil. Switch to olive oil, canola oil. It matters. For pear-shaped women, you just don't want to pack on more fat because you hate your lower body fat anyway. So the idea there is to lower the fat in your diet. That's going to help reduce any extra fat gain around your hips. And you're more at risk, believe it or not, for osteoporosis, bone thinning as you get older. So eat a diet that has calcium, whether it's dairy, although I'm not a big fan of dairy because a lot of people are allergic to the dairy as they get older. They don't digest it well with lack of enzymes. So you can get calcium-fortified orange juice. Soy milk is a great source of calcium and also gives you a lot of protein. And then women should avoid salt, especially pear-shaped women. Their legs are heavier. They're going to get the varicose veins more so than the apple-shaped woman. So they want to keep that salt and that sodium out of food. So the canned soups and the highly processed canned foods are just loaded with salt. So we've got to start reading labels and reducing the salt if we're a pear.
Has your book made a difference in any lives that's been communicated to you?
I have to say, I have so many people responded to me in two ways. the apple-shaped women that have responded have said, thank you for giving me permission to be more assertive with my health, to get my blood pressure lower, to get my insulin lower, to work on losing the inches, not the pounds. And pear-shaped women have said, thank you for stop harping on weight. I'm tired of my doctor telling me I've got to lose weight. I feel healthy. I know I'm healthy. A little bit of fat, it's okay. And feeling better about themselves. So I think, yes, I think people have responded in the sense that they feel better about themselves if they're a pear, and they're more alert about themselves and their health if they're apple-shaped, and realize they can take control. It really is mind over matter.
My guest today has been Dr. Marie Savard, author of the book, The Body Shape Solution to Weight Loss and Wellness. Dr. Savard, thank you for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll end our program as we started it. Not that we're encouraging women to go out and exceed to 300 pounds, but I kind of like the intro. It's Big Mama Thornton. She's talking about a big fat woman. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Big Mama, 'cause I weigh 300 pounds.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.